Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this time that we can be together. I pray that you would just give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad you have the Kleenex box handy. we just came back from a 2 weeks vacation with our son and his family, and we had the post office hold our mail, and so usually you're kind of anxious to get it after being gone this long. You think, well, maybe I forgot to pay some bills or whatever. So I went up to get the mail on Monday, and we had four things that were a pleasant surprise. I had four letters in the mail that were a real encouragement. And I'd just like to read a couple. First of all, I had written a girl that used to be in my Sunday school class about 45 years ago. And I had heard that she had had some hard times. She had one sister that had died of cancer. And both of her parents had died in within 1 year. And so I was thinking a lot about her. I decided to write. And I hadn't heard from her for a long time, and I thought, well, maybe she just put it aside, and, you know, I didn't know what she was thinking. And there was a letter from her when we got back from vacation. And my main reason for writing to her was I didn't know for sure if she was saved. And so I wrote and put a gospel track in there. And she wrote back and said that she was saved, and now I can correspond with her and give her some encouragement and help her to grow. And then my husband and I support a ministry in Norfolk, Virginia. The missionary's name is Hal Larson, and he has a ministry with truckers at a truck stop. And it's called Trucking for Christ. And it's a very large truck stop. And I don't know if you've done much traveling. When we were living in our motorhome, we would oftentimes pull in a truck stop and just pull in beside the semis and we'd rest or whatever. And there's just rows and rows of trucks. And they stop there and they can take showers or they can eat or whatever. Well, this man has Sunday morning services. The owner of the truck stop allows him to use their TV room for a meeting place, and so he has a morning service on Sunday, and he also has a Wednesday night service. And he also is there available for anybody that needs counseling or whatever. And there was a, I believe it was a church or some family or something had donated a double-wide trailer, and the owner of the truck stop said it was fine for him to set it up on the parking lot so he would have a place to meet with people if they wanted to talk to him. And so they were in the process of getting that ready. And this, he sends us a kind of a newsletter each month, and this was the month for June. It said, Eric, a truck driver from Canada, stopped at the truck stop to get some rest. He was returning from North Carolina where he had trouble making a delivery to a Walmart. I guess we all know what that is. They would not accept the big delivery of tomatoes simply because the bill of lading lacked a purchase order number, and they would not allow him to fax it. So when he got here, he called us and asked us if we wanted tomatoes. I called everyone I knew in church to get church to come and get some. We must have gotten over 100 flat boxes of sealed tomatoes. They were delicious. But the good news is that Eric gave his heart and life to the Lord while he was here. Another name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Eric thought that living a good life would be his best chance to heaven. He was glad to find out that he could know for sure that he had eternal life. Like it says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he had, before he left there, he had assurance of salvation. When truckers stop here at Big Charlie's Truck Stop, they get the plan of salvation. We have a table filled with gospel tracts, King James Bibles, follow-up material, gospel CDs, and everything, and et cetera. All things are free. They see this when they come into the truck stop 24 hours a day, and there are thousands of truckers that come through there every month. And here's some more great news. One of the chick tracts, have you ever heard of chick tracts? They're kind of a cartoon type, but they really have some good messages. He says, one of our chick tracts that we got for truckers made its way to Nigeria. I got a letter in the mail last Friday saying that one tract was handed and read from person to person over a several-month period. They sent me 149 names of people that got convicted and saved reading that tract. I've heard that in foreign countries that one tract will often be read by many people. But this was really something. I took the letter to church and showed it to my pastor. Then after church, a few of us went to Golden Corral for some lunch. Although I was rejoicing in the Nigerians that had gotten saved, I was praying for some way to get confirmation about these people. As we sat there eating, a black couple in African outfits walked by us. I found out that they were from Nigeria. So I went to my car, got the letter, and showed it to them. They not only were from the same area, but they knew several of the people on that list. Nothing is impossible for God. No, that's not a coincidence, is it? So that was just really a blessing to us. Today I'd like to talk to you about the most important decision in your life. And that is salvation. Once a teacher asked a class of children, "What is religion?" A little girl raised her hand and replied, "Religion is a set of rules my parents follow." Some people just, they use the word Christian as maybe going to church faithfully or whatever. I'm thankful that I was raised in a Christian home, but that didn't make me a Christian. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as we know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now, I'm going to talk about some common experiences the Bible talks about in everyday life to show how easy it is to be saved. And I would like to have some of you look up some verses for me. The first one is Isaiah 45:22. Angie, would you take that? And John 3:14 and 15. Could somebody take that? How about Sarah? And when you find it, you can read it. And we're going to look for a word in these verses that make that show us how easy it is to be saved.
"Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else."
Okay.
John 3:14.
Just
as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
Okay, now, King James Bible says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Jenny referred to this verse yesterday. The key word there is look. We have to look onto Jesus. Okay, now the next one is Isaiah 55:6. Is anybody, how about Rachel?
"Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near."
Okay, so we need to seek. We need to look and to seek. Lydia, Romans 10:13.
"For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Okay, we need to look and seek and call. All right, Matthew 11:28 through 30. Does anybody have that? about Naomi?
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Okay, that verse says, come. That's how easy it is. Okay, Psalm 34:8. Karen, do you want to read that one?
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Okay, there we see taste. All right, Mary, could you read Revelation 22:17?
The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely.
Okay, there the word is take. Joyce, could you read Job 22:21?
Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee.
Okay. Jenny, could you take John 1:12?
It is he has received you, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, that we need to receive him. Okay, John 4, or James 4:7. Noelle, do you have a Bible? Okay, does anybody else want to take that? James 4:7.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Okay, there is the word is submit. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:12. Rachel, would you take that? And Psalm 37:5, Lydia, if you want to look that up.
For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Okay.
37:5.
Mm-hmm.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Okay, that the word there is commit. We need to commit ourselves to God. Okay, Isaiah 12:2. Anybody take that?
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation.
Okay. Also, Ephesians 1:12-13 goes along with that. Anybody have that? I'll just read that. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the word there is trust. And the last one is Psalm 51:2-7. It says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And the word there is wash. Now, we'll just go back over the words that we talked about. First, it was look, seek, call, come, taste, take, acquaint, receive, submit, commit, trust, and wash. And they're all found in the scripture, and it's just the way that we just have to have faith in God's word. Now I'm going to give you six things that a sinner must know before he can get saved. First of all, he must know that he's lost. And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay, number two, he is under the wrath of God because of his sin and will go to hell. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That a lot of people like to say, oh, God is a loving God and he would never send you to hell. But he's also a just God. And so if the wrath of God is upon us and upon our sin. Okay, the third thing is he cannot save himself. No matter what we do, we can't work our way to heaven or work to gain salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." We just have to accept this gift. Okay, number four, only Jesus can save him. John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way to salvation. Number five, salvation is by faith in Jesus, not by works. John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." A lot of people think if they go to church faithfully, that's all they need to do, but that certainly is not right. We need to put our trust in Jesus. And number six, doing nothing is a sure way to hell as outward wickedness. If we think that we're saved, but we have never experienced salvation, we're not going to get to heaven. We have to come to the point where we realize we're a sinner and we call on Jesus and accept his gift of salvation. Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" One important thing that we need to do is when we come to the Lord is to repent. We have to have a repentant heart. And 1 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." In order for God's word to bear fruit in our heart, we have to have a repentant heart. Matthew 18:2-3 says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." A few months ago, we went over to our son Todd's, and my little granddaughter, who's 8, she said, "Grandma, you should have been here yesterday." And I said, "Why?" She says, "Because I was baptized." And so I wanted to make sure that she knew why she was baptized. So I asked her, "What does it mean to be baptized?" And she said, "Well," she says, "it's a testimony to people that you've accepted, that you've been saved," she said. I thought that was a good answer. So then I said, "When did you get saved?" She said, "Well, I heard my daddy preach about hell." And so she wanted to get saved. So then later I asked her mother just how this happened, you know, how it happened. And she said that Todd had been in their devotions, had been talking about hell and what you needed to do to go to heaven. And she said, Emma said she wanted to get saved. So she took her back to her bedroom. And she said, "I told her, now you've heard salvation verses many, many times," so she didn't think it was necessary to go over them. But she said, "It's like having faith in, like when you go to the park or whatever and you jump off something to daddy, you have faith that he's going to catch you." And so she understood that. And then Heather says, and I wanted her to pray by herself. And she said, "Dear Jesus, I've been so naughty." And I thought, that's just so, that's just a child's way of putting it. And she said, "Please catch me." And I just thought that was really special. And then they came out of the bedroom and came out in the living room. And Jake, her brother Jake, was there, and he's 11. And he was crying, and he said, "I just made sure I was saved too." And this was really special to me because I was saved when I was 10. And it's so important when children get saved that you teach them so that they can grow. That was lacking in my life, and until much later, it seemed like my Christian growth was at a standstill. And you have to get into the Word of God and read it every day, and so He can help. The Lord can help you grow. And I'd like to close in singing 143. It's one of my favorite songs. I Know Whom I Have Believed.